Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterney's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Dirty's Daily brought to you today by Branded Bills, a hat you see me wearing every day right here on the YouTube channel, right here on Twitch, and any photos and videos that we post. What?
It's not accurate.
Yes, it is. What do you mean? Oh, it's not. It's not. Oh, it's a demo. It's a demo for anybody out there that wants to sponsor. We are open, and it's Dirty's Daily, baby. You can bring the funk anytime, any way you want. But right now, today, it's all about Branded Bills. I do want to tell folks, it is also about Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks up off 290. Twin Peaks up off 290. I'm going to be there 6 to 8 p.m. tonight, getting ready and watching early Monday Night Football.
They're taking off to set up right now?
Yeah, they just took off to set up. I'll be buying some beers out there. Got me old gift card, so y'all come on out, hang with me. I'll buy you a beer. We're going to give away some U of H basketball tickets. They're playing Florida State in Toyota Center. We're going to give away a couple of those tickets, as well as I think the Globetrotters come to the Toyota Center in December as well. We'll give away a couple of those tickets as well. But most important, let me be buying a couple of beers and breaking some good bread. So we got some folks coming out. As Ron just said, promo just shot out of the building to go to beat me out there. So meet me out there. Let's get ready for this this ball game tonight, man. Monday Night Football is always fun, but when you catch it at Twin Peaks, it goes to the next level. I may even win a more 29-degree man-sized draft. You know what I mean?
29 degrees. I figure you will.
One of them big dogs? Tyler, not one of them little bitty ones that you match your little hands? No, I'm going to get one of them big ones.
You can get multiple of the little ones, though.
Well, you could, but it was just, I mean, that's not the man that I am. You know, I like to go for the big boys. That's what I'm going to do. All right, guys, look, the Texans got a much-needed win yesterday, and they won in dominating fashion. And so this is kind of where I want to take this reaction Monday, if you will, is, first of all, I don't want to hear about the 49ers being undermanned or shorthanded. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that that's not a fact. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that they weren't shorthanded, but there's a couple of things here. One, we got to realize who we are as the Houston Texans. We got to realize that this is not – we're not talking about Super Bowl anymore. We're not talking about AFC Championship anymore. We're not talking about, let's be honest, right now, we're not in a spot to talk about winning the division. We are in a spot to talk about – we are swimming in a swamp of wild card teams in the AFC. And can we keep pace with them? Can we continue to get better week in, week out when we get the opportunity to put ourselves in a position to claim one of those wild cards? If the opportunity does present itself to get back in the hunt for the division, so be it. But you're swimming in a pool of wild card teams that are a game, maybe two games better than you right now. And we're not in a spot to go out into every game and expect greatness from this offense. We're not in a spot. I mean, you can if you want. I'm going to tell you how to fan. But for me, I've reset my expectations. Again, I don't expect this offense to go out there and just light any and everybody up. I expect this offense at some point to become a respectable offense. And I think the only way you do that is you go through games like you did yesterday, like you did earlier in the year against Baltimore. And there were some brighter moments, obviously Tennessee, but there were some brighter moments even in the losses the first 3 weeks of the season. But first and foremost, we're on the offensive side of the football on this Reaction Monday. I don't know that a team has been more, it's been more needed with a team to see success. You know, I've said this a million times. Like, I think in hindsight that training camp was handled poorly in how they allowed this offense to install in real time. Like, I thought they did a really good job schedule-wise of doing almost a baby step, slow motion install all the basics and kind of baby steps. But then once it came to, okay, let's play team football, let's play 11-on-11, it was just a tee-off on CJ event at the end of damn near every practice.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, I think that set them back a little bit. And then you get into the season and you're still trying to find yourself and you're playing some pretty damn good defenses right out of the gate in the Jaguars, the Rams, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it's almost more of the same. And it was just so much coming at these guys so often and so quickly. They didn't play in the preseason games much at all to see success there. And so you're just fishing to see some level of success in what it is Nick Caley wants us to do. Nick Caley, D'Amico, everybody's been preaching to the guys, to the team, this is going to work, this is going to work, approach it this way, trust us, be coachable, just take the game plan and the practice that we do throughout the week, take it to the game field, trust us, trust us, trust us. And more times than not, they've gone out there and they've struggled mightily, right? So right now, just to go out there and get good quality reps, just to go out there and to have good plays, good drives, and see results at the end, even if it's a field goal, we can sit around and go, I don't get too hung up, Ron, on the, oh, well, it's, boy, we really bogged down in the red zone. Look, you're not going to score a touchdown every time you get down there, right? Yeah. You're going to have to settle for field goals. And I'll be honest with you, in this game, D'Amico was aggressive early. Hell, I'd have tried to kick the 50-yarder when they went for it on fourth down and ended up getting it with a quarterback sneak. I'd have been that conservative knowing how good my defense was early on. So, you know, I don't want to minimize in any way, shape, or form the significance and the value of what we got from Nick Caley and what we got from C.J. Stroud in this game. I mean, those two guys within this scheme seeing results and feeling it and winning at the end of it and going back to the drawing board and being able to, sure, you correct some mistakes, but you do it on a week where you won. You can feel good about it. You approach it with a different vibe. Ron, I think that in itself is unbelievably valuable. If you look at the, now look again, if you're looking at this season as, boy, this team coming out of the chutes, we're supposed to be a 10-win team. We're supposed to compete for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, if that's still your mindset, then obviously you're not meeting expectations.
Then, yeah, you can poo-poo. You can minimize the win over the San Francisco 49ers. I just can't do it. I've reset my expectations and what I want from this team and what I think is really good for this team and ultimately what I think is going to give the Texans a chance to compete down the stretch here is having a game like you had against Baltimore, having a game like you had against the 49ers. I mean, you look at it three – because, look, I'm going to tell you, I've said this before – you can believe me or not, the Tennessee Titan game was very similar in a way of there was just a couple of balls that were misthrown early in that game. That would have been sideways in the first half as well, or at least would have been a much more impressive outing. So really, we're talking three of the last four games, right? Three of the last four games over 5 weeks. There was a bye week in there. You laid the egg against Seattle, but three of the last four, you played some good football. Now, can you take those reps and getting those valuable reps, can you take and apply at a higher level, right? Can you now go from football 101, Nick Caley football 101 to Nick Caley football, what is it, 201 or 301 or 501 or whatever it may be? Can you live in a different world of Nick Caley's offense as the opponent gets better as well? Ron, this was just a much-needed win overall, but a much-needed game for the offense in the sense of executing at a high level.
This was much different to me than the Baltimore game. I mean, both teams had injuries to important pieces, but I think it was different because this is a group. That Baltimore game, that's the first time they played without Lamar. They had played without Roquan Smith. They had played without Marlon Humphrey. They had played without Kyle Hamilton. They had played without Ronnie Stanley. I mean, that's all of them right then and there. That completely different team, practice squad guys. We watched San Francisco play with this group. Right, Fred Warner's missed a couple of games. We watched them beat an Atlanta Falcons team that had just whooped the Bills the previous week with this group. We watched Mac Jones go 4-1 coming into the game. So this was a team that is 5-2, and a lot of what they're playing with and what they brought into NRG is what's gotten them to get to 5-2, right? They had less guys when they played the 49ers. And they won on the road. When they played the Rams and they won on the road and beat them. So, I think this is quite a bit different. And I take this one a lot more serious than I took the Ravens.
Yeah, man. 41 minutes time of possession. You punted one time, which I believe was in the fourth quarter. 9 different Texans caught passes. CJ by far had his best day. 77% completion, should have been higher. 300-plus yards, 2 touchdowns. And if we're being honest, the interception was more of a, hey, man, let's see if we can make a little noise with 20-something seconds left in the second quarter. Let's see if we can get in field goal range. Luckily, it didn't bite him in the ass, but I don't necessarily count that one as boy, the game really swung, or boy, it was a poor decision by CJ, and he's got to be careful. That was an aggressive moment where you choose to be aggressive. The 9 different Texans catching passes. Now, I've said this before after the Baltimore game when I believe it was 8 guys caught passes. This is the one thing right here that changes when you see a better opponent, is it becomes significantly more difficult for 8 or 9 guys to create separation. It becomes significantly more difficult for CJ Stroud to just distribute the ball within rhythm, with the scheme, on schedule, on demand. Ron, this is the part to me that probably doesn't translate. You know, the 9 different receivers catching balls, it's hard to see that happening. Even with Nico and Christian Kirk, they got to get better with 3 or 4 guys. But the 9 different receivers, the good part of that is you saw some guys that could potentially become one of your top 4.
Yeah, it was, but that was the other part. It was 8-9 guys winning.
Yeah.
Winning routes easily to get themselves.
Yeah, and by the way, he had
your backup tight end down the sideline for one.
You want to talk about like what really turns you on about CJ Stroud? And we had a couple of calls last night. That really, the post game wasn't the place to have those conversations, but a couple of calls about, you know, is CJ Stroud a franchise quarterback or not? And you know, a lot of the callers were about the physical part of it. Look, there's no debate. There's no doubt. There's no debate. CJ Stroud physically is gifted at a franchise quarterback level, at a $50+ million a year level. That when it comes to throwing a football, he was born to stand in a pocket and throw a football at an elite, elite level in an elite, elite fashion. There's no doubt about that, right? The C.J. Stroud part of the are you a franchise, are you a $50 million guy comes when you start talking about the leadership stuff, the handling adversity stuff, the taking command and control of the offense and not necessarily needing the greatest and best supporting cast around you. Like that's when you got to decide, can C.J. Stroud take your organization to a Super Bowl when there's less money to be spread around? Like that's up to them to decide. But the physical part of it is there, and I think it was on I mean Front Street. It was right there for everybody to see on the touchdown to Xavier Hutchinson. We talked about it Friday, Ron. I think it was like the ability to stand in there when you know you're gonna get hit in the chin and deliver a throw. We see the great ones do it all the time. Even if you just want to talk about the quarterbacks that are playing at a high level. Not even just the Pat Mahomes and Josh Allens of the world, but just quarterbacks that are playing at a high level, whoever it may be this year. Right now, Baker Mayfield, even though he's been a little rough accuracy lately, but Baker Mayfield's one of them. When you watch the quarterbacks that are playing at a top level throughout a game, there's 2 or 3 throws where they knew they were fixing to get center punched by a 250-pound pass rusher, but they stood in there and made the throw, right? That throw to Xavier Hutchinson was one of them I'm talking about. Now, I didn't go back and watch it to see if he got actually center punched, but he was definitely getting buried, you know, barreled down on, and hit that short, quick stroke where he can throw it 15 to 20 yards down the field on a dime with velocity. That is like franchise quarterback type stuff.
That was his best game of the year for you?
This year? Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Because he was AFC player of the week against the Ravens.
Well, to your point, I agree with your overall point, Ron. I've heard it. I think Sean may have said it. Like this isn't – the Baltimore Ravens, I mean, I almost felt sorry for the guys that were out there. I mean, it was almost like taking candy from a baby. Like, to be honest with you, CJ made a couple of throws in that game that you're like, don't try that against a better opponent.
Yeah.
Don't do like that touchdown on Nico Collins.
Nico said he fit in
a cut split over the middle with nobody controlling the backside safety. Like I don't know. I don't know if I want to make a living doing that right there. This was one of those games where if he wasn't being disciplined, super disciplined underneath, the throws over the top were made effortlessly. And that's franchise quarterback stuff. Now, can you do it against better opponents? Can you does speaking to the team or giving the O-line the game ball after the game, is that really CJ kind of stepping out of his comfort zone and taking a little bit more control or taking the bull by the horn, so to speak, with this offense? We'll see. I'd like to see him do it in an adverse moment where he's getting heated up and he gets in that ass, that offensive line, and maybe tighten some guys up on the sideline. I would like to see that. But is this a step in the right direction? You know, that's the part that I think is undecided on CJ. That throw Sunday, that is what elite NFL passers do, and CJ can do it in his sleep when he has time.
Yep. Well, you said you want to look for some adversity with the line. Well, here comes the team that leads the league in sacks by a mile, the Denver Broncos. 36 sacks on the season. They lead by double digits in that category.
Really?
Anybody else.
They can bring pressure. They can cover down, even though I don't know if Patrick Surtain, if he went out of the game last night,
bringing
his shoulder
injury.
Back,
yeah.
So, you know, him being in or out, I don't think it's a game breaker, but it definitely changes the dynamic and the calculus, if you will, to use a Nick Caserio term, of what they do defensively.
All right, coming up, D'Amico Ryans. He had quite an exchange the last couple of days, and even more so today. We'll let you hear what he had to say in exchange with the media about that noise, that outside noise. We'll let you hear what he had to say and let you be the judge. Was he your team, D'Amico, or are you like, oh, come on, man. Could handle that differently. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Y'all got to be ready to go, man.
Take the drive.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, remember, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays. With NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus, watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Coming up behind us, we are out an hour early because at 5 o'clock, the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans will take over. You get a chance to hear the head coach coming off the biggest win of the season right after we get done. And hell, if you were listening to In the Loop like you should every day from 10 to 2, you would have heard the coach earlier today. And just in case you did, there was a bit of a, I don't want to say a rant, but he expressed himself about the outside noise and how they react to it yesterday during the press conference. And then today, he spoke about it again. And I want you to listen to this throughout 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Did you have any issue with the approach and how this went and how D'Amico Ryans handled this? We'll discuss it on the other side, but did you have any issue with how he handled this situation.
Pushing away outside noise. I know that was a topic yesterday. What are the challenges, and is there a balance between like positive outside noise and negative outside noise?
No, it really doesn't matter. I mean, here you can see it's a lot of negative talk about us. We get it. I hear people try to give it to me all the time. I get it, right? It's like, but it really doesn't matter, right? I talk about it. Everybody wants to write a hot story, and most of the time it's negative stuff that people want to talk about, right? Nobody wants to talk about the positive stuff that happens. And again, if you feed off of that and you're riding the pendulum of, oh, we're great because we won, oh, we suck because we lost, fight, like, that's our business. I get it. But that's the nature of it. We keep moving forward. Really, it doesn't drive anything. It means nothing, literally nothing, to what we're about. Like, it does nothing to drive our team. We just got to go out and play good football.
You don't think you've gotten any positive stuff?
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, the first
you,
two
you don't think you've gotten any praise at all?
Guys, it's what's your question?
Everybody says negative.
I said that's what people thrive on is the negative stuff. Yeah.
You don't think you've gotten any positive?
I said people thrive on the negative. You guys are good. You guys must be the ones with the negative stuff. We're playing football. You talk about outside noise. I'll say it again. It doesn't matter. Good, bad, it doesn't change how we prepare. It doesn't change our week of preparation. We're going to work. We're going to work our best, the game plan our best, and go out and play good football.
Well, but for your first couple years and a half, like, you've gotten nothing but positive coverage for the majority of the time. So when you say everybody wants to focus on the negative – and not write about the positive. I don't know if that's, how is that accurate when you've been here for a couple of years, you've got a lot of positive coverage.
You guys good.
That was the dismount there. As I see, you heard that there, that exchange. Your thoughts? Had you any issues with how D'Amico handled that? Text line coming in, Rob. The questions were fair. D'Amico's responses were fair. Other folks jumping in. I can't read some of these, but other folks jumping in with their thoughts. You can continue. How did you think D'Amico handled that thing, Clint? You think D'Amico would like to have that one back?
Absolutely. I think he would like to have it back. I mean, here's the context that matters, right? I mean, D'Amico's point in the moment today, and really every time he's brought it up, his point of saying, look, the negative or positive, it doesn't impact my team in any way. You know, That is, if that's the messaging and that's the point, then so be it. Tip to cap, keep it moving. But there's a few things here. One, the only reason that literal questions are constantly asked about, not just like negative questions, but the point of negative coverage, is because he keeps making it a coverage. Like, the context that matters here is every D'Amico, not every, but the majority of D'Amico Ryan's, you know, audio that I listen to, somewhere in there, he's taking a shot at somebody in the audience. He's taking a shot of, you guys want to write negative. You guys focus on the negative. You guys do this. Nobody wants to talk right about the positive. You guys want to write the negative. He's done that for weeks now, maybe even months now. And so I don't view it personally. I mean, everybody else can view it however they want. I don't view this as a reporter asked about negative coverage and got in kind of a little bit of a back and forth with D'Amico. D'Amico has come in and constantly commented to, brought up. He did it last night in the postgame presser, the negative stuff.
All we hear is negative things. Yes. All you want to write is negative D'Amico things. Started with Mixon.
D'Amico has fed into this constantly, and nobody's ever pushed back. And so much so to the point where you can hear, like, D'Amico Ryan's is extremely short with Aaron Wilson. Right? D'Amico Ryan's has got to the point where he's really short with DJ Bieniemy. He has gotten to the point where I think he's always been a little bit combative with Landry. But I mean, that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. But if you're going to come in week after week, and I don't have any skin in the game, I just listen to it all the time, and I can sense D'Amico doing that. And it doesn't surprise me that somebody said, hey, you know, man, damn, we've been covering you for 2.5 years. Man, we stroked you for 2 years, and now it's a rough part of the season, and some negative stuff comes up. And it's like you just keep taking – to me, it's always seemed like from the outside looking in that D'Amico was the one that was pouring gas on the fire and always talking about it. And then when somebody when somebody pushes back a little bit, it's all of a sudden like, oh, y'all good? You don't want to talk about it. It was super weak to me. It was weak to constantly bring it up. Even if the media is bringing it up, it was the way you've responded is to pour gas on the fire constantly. I thought it was a weak move by the head coach. Right,
and that's my big thing, what you said there at the end. Listen, I think he's pissed and frustrated, one, by his team and their performance and where they are. I think he's probably a little bit pissed off by some of the decisions that they have made that put them in the space they are in. I don't think he likes to rotate left guards. I don't think he's happy about it. And I damn sure probably don't think he's probably pissed when he has to answer questions about something that he ain't happy about, that he has to come up with something silly to make it make sense. I don't believe he believes that stuff, that, hey, we think they've worked better on a pitch count. I don't believe he believes that. I think he is annoyed and frustrated with everything. And I think he is annoyed and frustrated that the talk has shifted and changed from the first 2 years. I get it. I get that. I think it makes him human. But I think John Harbaugh is annoyed and frustrated and pissed off by what I've done here for 13, 18 years. And I've won a Super Bowl and I've had a really good team. And all of a sudden, I lose Lamar and damn near every person on my team. And y'all trying to run me out, right? I think Andy Reid was probably a little bit annoyed after we went to 3 straight Super Bowls and won 2 of them. We got our asses kicked in the game. And now I'm getting questioned. Like, it happens. When it goes bad and you got expectations, it's going to go that way. And for me, I guess I'm just surprised, Clint, that he elected to throw more lighter fluid on this and to throw more gasoline on what didn't have to have more. This should be a non-conversation.
Absolutely should.
So if you heard what Landry, the question he posed, it is very easy to get out of that and to move on off of that and not make that become a deal where you – but instead, he then chose to put more on it. He chose to say, you all never, never say anything positive. That's what he said. He chose to say that. He chose to say maybe you two are the ones that are negative. He added more to it. And brought him. I think he didn't think anybody was going to come back and check back. I think he was surprised. You can hear he was caught off guard by his comments, very similar to where he was last week when he was asked what's the identity of your offense, and you could tell he was caught off guard a little bit, wasn't ready to respond there. I think he was caught off guard a little bit there, but I am just surprised he didn't just easily shut that down or move off of that.
Look,
and create it.
Look, I mean, this is not a Monday, October 27 take for me. We've been talking about this for 2 weeks now of like, you know, for a team and an organization that doesn't care about negative, you know, media coverage. They sure spend a lot of time talking about negative media coverage.
Yeah.
I mean, D'Amico does it, CJ does it. It's and it's not just like if it really doesn't bother you, it'd be like, hey man, it don't matter one way or another. What's the next question? But it's always this long drawn out explanation of how people, when you lose, they don't like you, they want to fire everybody, and when you win, they want to for a group that is so adamant about how it doesn't matter, they just seem to spend an abnormal amount of time explaining how it doesn't matter. You know, that's typically if you don't matter to me or something you're doing, if sports radio talk doesn't matter to me, I'm probably just going to say, man, really, I don't listen. It doesn't bother me. Doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to spend 2 minutes telling you why sports radio, what you said yesterday or what you said for the last 2 weeks bothers me.
Like me,
and then I don't listen.
Like say, I don't give a damn what the text line says. Then I express that.
You call somebody an SOB on there. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's weak, man. It's a weak move.
I feel like DJ almost fell out his chair when he said, y'all never care. Y'all never say anything positive. He almost fell out. What?
I spent bet you 2 years writing nothing but positive.
Yeah, it came. That's where that came from.
I thought it was just really weak. And I got a ton of respect for D'Amico and how he handles his business and the former player that he is and the coach that he is.
I just
got to be real. I thought this again before that today happened. We've talked about this multiple. I've talked about this with multiple people. Like it is noticeable the annoyance and the dislike for certain media members. It's been growing over 2 weeks. In the communication and in the banter, you can tell.
Yeah, I kind of hope they make the decision that hey, let's not add to this. Let's not make this a thing. All right, coming up, we'll discuss what we saw yesterday. Was yesterday's game just one good game? Just hey, man, they came out, they knew they had their backs against the wall, home game, just one good game. Or do you think this could be more? This could lead to a run. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, we'll get to you, Larry, here in a second. Was yesterday's game a great sign for real potential moving forward now that they're 3-4, or was it just one good game? You can get your thoughts in with that coming up behind us, as we said, D'Amico Ryans and The Coach's Show be coming up at 5 o'clock right after us. And then you can catch a little Texans All Access after The Coach's Show. And then Monday Night Football, courtesy of Westwood One, begins at 7 o'clock. The Washington Commanders without Jaden Daniels. But Debo Samuel, Terry
Marcus
McLaurin.
Marcus Mariota's out there,
Marcus
man.
Mariota, he gets Debo and Terry McLaurin. Scary Terry back in the building. They will go on the road to Arrowhead to face the surging Kansas City Chiefs. So that's coming up on right after Mark Vandermeer, John Harris get done with The Coach's Show and Texans All Access, courtesy of Westwood One. T-Mill's Best Bets, very, very Monday Night Football heavy. That's coming up here in a matter of moments. Larry, your thoughts on the big win yesterday?
Hey, Clint, I think that's yesterday was a positive sign in the right direction, because that's the kind of win we've been looking for all season. So I just wanted to get that little bit out the way before I get to what this call is about. I'm seeing them boys over there on Kirby a little sensitive and a little soft about this outside noise, huh, Coach? Hey, man, you're going to need a propane tank if I ever get those media credentials, because I'm going to come in there and be asking you them kind of questions that I really be wanting to ask. Because here's the thing, man, the outside noise is y'all fault. And for you to say, and I think you would want to have this back, Coach, but for you to say it don't matter to y'all which way or one way or the other, hey, man, it matters to 70,000 folks who have to spend their vacation time and all their hard money to come over there and watch y'all not perform at the level that y'all told us y'all was going to play. Look here, man, I've been a Texan fan for 23 years, and I've had season tickets for 23 years that it cost me thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and almost caused me to have to take my ass to therapy after that Seattle Seahawks game. But I'm going to tell you something, Coach. It's real for us out here. And if y'all haven't figured out real quick, your ass better toughen up if you're going to be in the state of Texas, because football is king here. And we expect big things from you, Coach, because you played here and you understand that. And as far as CJ goes, yesterday was the first time that I seen him and his body language look like an elite quarterback this season. And I was on the news yesterday saying all I want CJ to do is go out there and play like he was the rookie of the year when he was rookie of the year. And he took his ass out there and did exactly like that with one of the games that they played, the best games he played this season. Look, you can't be sensitive when you playing a grown man sport. And we in the city of Houston have suffered since 1968 or whenever the Oilers were here to never get a Super Bowl. And if you ain't going to want no outside noise, don't go out there and play games like you play sometimes. And I'll tell you this, yesterday gave me hope, because when I was hearing all that outside noise, I was smiling ear to ear when y'all ass was in that locker room celebrating and all holler.
All right, that is Larry and Stafford. And before we get to T-Mill's Best Bets, that's my thing. Like, for me, and I will take this back if there is something else showing, I just don't think it's been personal. Like, I don't think it's been outside of the lines of football, unless it's been brought that way, right? like last week when D'Amico said certain things that didn't go well, it didn't go the way he thought it should go during practice, and they didn't execute in the game. But then you had CJ and Derek Stingley Jr. go the other way with it. I mean, that's just something that has to be responded to. They said it, right? So I don't think it's been personal. And I would walk back what I'm saying if there's been some personal stuff that he's talking about. But I mean, when you go 2-4 and just look awful on offense for most parts of the season, and that was the biggest thing that you were trying to turn around, and the moves you made all just stunk it up. And like somebody on our show last week said, trash, trash, trash. When it looks like that, like, I mean, that's the conversation, whether it's written or spoken. And then when it looks like it did Sunday, it's, hey, here they go. They look good. Can we? This is the team you're supposed to see.
Larry makes a great point. I mean, which is really the way that I think, I guess I expected D'Amico Ryans to kind of handle all this, which he didn't have to handle much of it in the first couple of seasons because, one, there wasn't much expectations when you first started, but you end up winning 10 and going the second round and do the same thing year two. You know, you got to look at it as, you know, the negative coverage is a response to the product that you've put out there, right? Yeah. And whether that be a poor offensive product or that is silly decisions like rotating left guards, or it is the coaching staff constantly going to the media, and whether it's right or wrong or indifferent, it just, and you got to know that it's going to invite real questions. When you constantly, we're a year and a half. I mean, we're damn near 30 games into, well, these guys will just execute. It's not the system. It's these guys will just execute. They're doing what they're coached to do. Like, whether that's true or not, that is inviting, like, well, damn, what's going on? Like, why would, are you saying you got a group that's not very coachable? Right? Is that the deal? Like, if they're not coachable, they're not doing what you guys are telling. So it almost invites it. And so it's just to Larry's point, I think Larry makes a great point of all of it is a response to what everybody sees on the field. And anybody that's being real, when you see positive, you talk positive. And you see, you know, but when it's mostly negative, it's mostly going to be negative unless you're trying to stroke D'Amico because you want to be his buddy.
Yeah. You know, like yesterday, he snuck it in. And then Nick Cayley did a good job today, and he's done a good job all year. No, he hasn't.
No, right, right.
like, we're going to respond to that. That's not.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll see, man. Look, the 2-4, 3-4, losing record, a disappointing season, start to the season. You can still turn it around. But when it's disappointing like that to the tune of losing twice the games that you win, obviously there's going to be some negative conversations.
All right,
hopefully you're having negative conversations in the building that ain't real comfortable too.
Yeah, check out T Mill's best bets if you are looking to find those. As he had a really good week last week, well, he might be. Go to at T Mill Real Deal at T Mill Real Deal to go check out his bets on Monday night. See if you can win some money. All right, Clint, great job as always.
Twin Peaks, 290.
There you go,
right
Twin
now.
Peaks. Yeah, right now. Right now. You got to buy you some beers. Buy you something to
cold
drink.
Cold beer.
Cold one. There you go. Great job, Clint. Tyler, great job as always. D'Amico Ryan's show coming up behind us. I am Ron, the show as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
It's so weak. It's the bully that constantly bullies, and then when somebody punches them back, runs to the corner. I've done it to women in my life. Create a problem, gaslight the hell out. The minute they bring it up, what the hell are you talking about? I just went to my buddy's house. What the hell are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Knowing damn good and well, there were three different trips I went and did, you know. I mean.
You guys, good.
You can miss me with this freaking nonsense.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.